The Bible says in Matthew 16 verse 19 that I will give you the keys for the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You need to understand that the keys, that keys is information, it is knowledge. It is knowledge. Knowledge is the acquisition of information. If you want knowledge, you need information. Knowledge will be turned into wisdom by the anointing only. Wisdom is the ability to, by power, apply knowledge in an intelligent way and manner. Tonight, you are about to receive new keys. Tonight, there will be an increase of revelation. Tonight, there will be an increase of information and knowledge. And by the anointing that is upon you, oh, by the anointing that is upon you, it shall become wisdom. Shall become wisdom. You need to understand that wisdom brings forth revelation, and revelation is necessary for an increase of anointing upon your life. If you want the anointing upon your life to increase, this is not the only key though. You need an increase of revelation, because revelation comes by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the anointing. The Bible says, 1 John 5 verse 7, that there's three that bear record in heaven. They bear witness in heaven: God the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word was made manifest. The Word was crucified on a cross for our sins. The Word faced 3 days in death, but on the third day the Word was resurrected by the glory of the Father and by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Word was exalted back into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Word have sent us a gift that we simply cannot ignore. And that is the gift of His Holy Spirit. Do you even realize what it is that you carry? Do you even realize what is at work within you, upon you, around you? What is alive through your life? You need truth. You need the Word for an increase of revelation. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 from verse 10, where it speaks on the spiritual armor of God, it says that, gird up the loins, gird up your loins with the belt of truth. The Greek word for the word truth in this context is aletheia. It's got a alpha prefix, meaning not, and then it's got a suffix lethe, meaning disclosed. If you put them together, you get not disclosed. So you start to move in a complete state of transparency. The more of the Word that you get filled with, the more of the truth being revealed through your life, the more transparent you become. You guys with me? You need the Word for an increase of revelation, because the more that God reveals Himself to you, the more of truth you are filled with. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The more of the truth that you are filled with, the greater the anointing upon your life. The greater understanding that you have of the Word, the greater the anointing upon your life. Tonight I'm sharing with you some secrets on the anointing. Secrets on the anointing. Amen. Guys, can have your seats. Tonight you're going to receive new keys. that will allow you to unlock, that will allow you to unlock heaven. The vault doors of heaven, of revelation, will be opened up to you tonight. Do I have spiritual people with me tonight? Do I have mature spiritual people with me tonight? Revelation is going to flow. And let those who hear, and those see. I'm telling you tonight that what ears have not yet heard, nor what eyes have not yet seen, nor have entered into the hearts of man, will be revealed unto you tonight. That your ears will hear what have not yet been heard, that your eyes will see what have not yet been seen. And that which have not yet been placed in the hearts of man shall be given into your hands in this night. Amen. Shall be given into your hands tonight. I will continue on the topic of anointing. Who have been here this morning? It was a powerful service. It was so nice to have the father of the house back, if I can put it that way. Pastor Leon. It was so nice to hear his voice. He asked me to take the service tonight. He's busy with a conference in Hatfield. And so he please asked to be excused. He sends his regards. He asked me to tell you that he loves you very much. And that after this conference, he's going to be busy there tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. And then after that conference, he's going to be back in full force on every Sunday. Amen. Full force. Tonight, as we get into the Word, you will receive a fresh endowment of God's power and of God's authority. You will receive a fresh endowment of the anointing of God. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 3 verse 11, you can put this on, and please flow with the scriptures. I've got the notes in front of me, so I'm just going to keep on reading so you guys can just place as you guys get ready. Matthew 3 verse 11, it says, and this is John the Baptist, and it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. You need to understand that the moment that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that a divine additive is added called the anointing. You need to understand that the moment that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that you receive an anointing for the call of God that is upon your life. You need to understand that when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that the whole course of your life shifts into a different direction. And that which was written of you in the volume books of heaven gets set into motion by the anointing of God upon your life. You need to understand that you will need the keys. You will need the anointing to be able to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven to unlock that which was written of you in the volume books of heaven. And so to set into motion what you have been predestined to do even before time began. You need the anointing. Say the anointing. I will be sharing with you a few secrets on the anointing tonight. And so the first secret on the anointing, and Pastor Leon, I've touched on some of the stuff this morning, is that the moment the anointing comes upon you, you can no longer go back to do the things that you used to do. You can no longer be the person that you used to be. Amen. The moment that you get baptized in the Spirit of truth, you can no longer go back and be who you used to be and do what you used to do. Amen. Go for me to 1 Samuel 9 verse 21. 1 Samuel 9, verse 21. I want this to become real to you. I want the anointing. I want you to get a hunger for the anointing, a thirst, a desire. Amen. And it says, and Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Now I wanted to preach on the whole 1 Samuel verse 9 as it's filled with revelation, especially on the anointing, but there's not enough time and I still have to touch on a lot of other stuff. So I'm going to give you my version of the story of what happened leading up to this verse. Amen. I'm going to paraphrase of everything that have happened up until this verse. And the very first thing that I need you to understand is that how God sets up divine appointments. You need to understand how God sets up divine appointments. Who's here for the first time tonight? Just raise your hands. It is not by chance that you are seated here tonight. God have ordained it even before time. There was a council taken in heaven and it was decided that you should be here tonight. On this day, on this date. Because God has got a meeting with you. Even those sitting here that normally attend church every Sunday. You think it's by chance that you have just come to church because I always just go to church every Sunday. I'm part of the team, so I'm just going to church. God has got a plan with your life. There's a destiny and a call and greatness that is locked up within you. You're seated here tonight for the first time. I want to tell you it's because God has got a divine appointment and that it has been set up even before time began. You can believe it or not, but that's the way that it is. Amen. And so, I'm going to read this verse again, and it says, and Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest, say the smallest, of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least, say the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? So, here we have Kish, which is Saul's father, and they have lost their donkeys. They have lost their inheritance. They have lost their wealth. You need to understand that this was the smallest, the least of the families in all of Israel. These animals was their business. It was their wealth. And they've lost them. And so Kish said, listen, Saul, we've got a problem. But. There's a prophet at ECC. Sorry. Sorry, that was my mistake, sorry. There's a prophet in the city. I want you to go to the prophet in the city. To the prophet, Leon Dupria. I did it again. Sorry, just excuse me. I'm trying my best. I'm doing the best I can. Go to the prophet Samuel and meet with him. Because every word that this man speaks comes to pass. And he will be able to tell us where to find our inheritance. He will be able to tell us how to restore that which was lost. Because I know that this is a man of God. I want you to know and understand that do not see everything that is going wrong in your life necessarily as a bad thing. Because it might just be God busy aligning you with His perfect will. It might just be God that's busy setting you up to become a commander, a priest, and a king. It might just be God busy setting you up, releasing what is activated, releasing what is locked up on the inside of you. Do not always see everything going wrong as a bad thing. And so Saul went on this journey to meet with the prophet Samuel. But now something very profound happened on the way. On the way, while Saul was on the way to meet with prophet Samuel, there was a divine meeting in heaven. where God the Father, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit had counsel. And they decided that Saul will be commander over Israel. It was predestined in heaven. And so God appeared unto the prophet Samuel and said that we have searched the hearts of all men and have found that Saul, we have chosen that Saul is to be commander over Israel and that he will be anointed as such. Now remember that the Bible says that Saul is out of the tribe that is the smallest in all of Israel. And if that is not enough, their family is the least of all the families in the tribe of Benjamin. So you can imagine that when the prophet Samuel came to Saul and said that, listen, you have been chosen and you are to be anointed as commander over Israel, that his immediate response was, me? How is this possible? How can this be? I am the least in Israel. How can God possibly use someone like me? How is this possible? How many times have you not asked yourself that question? How can it be that God will love someone like me? How can it be that God will even listen to me? How can it be that He will even use someone like me? Why? Why me? You need to understand that God qualifies the unqualified. You need to understand that the moment that the anointing comes upon your life, that you will be taken from nothing and that you will be made everything. God qualifies the unqualified. The moment that the anointing comes upon you, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire, your identity changes. And you can no longer go back and be what you used to be. Amen. The second secret to the anointing is that it changes your identity. It changes your identity. You just need to see it. Amen. Go for me to 1 Samuel 10. From verse 1. And I'll be reading verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. Not 2, verse 6. Verse 2 and verse 6. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, say a vial of oil, and poured it upon his head. The anointing is the oil of heaven. It is the very substance of heaven. The oil had no power, no meaning until while it was still in the vial, while it was still in the container. It meant nothing. It had to be released for something to be established. Are you guys with me? You guys carry an anointing. Each and every one of you sitting here tonight, I want to tell you that you carry the anointing of the true living God, but that you have to be able to release it. It does not help that you keep it inside. You have to release it, because the longer that you keep it inside, it means nothing. It means nothing. It changes nothing. But the moment that it's released, it starts changing something. Amen? And poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Say inheritance. Over his inheritance. Go to verse 2. And it says, when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's. I can never pronounce that word, but it means a grave in the border of Benjamin at Salza, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care. Say this, what they were looking for was found. What they were looking for was found. This, everything happened after he got anointed. Amen. And then verse 6, go for me to verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And thou shalt be turned into another man. You see, the prophet Samuel have told Saul that on your way back, you will find the prophets, they will be busy prophesying. And with the moment that you step into their presence, I hope someone is getting this. And the moment that you enter their presence, oh, then the Spirit of the Lord shall come down upon you, and you shall prophesy with them. And there you shall be turned into another man. After Samuel anointed Saul, he gained a new inheritance. That which was lost was returned. And his identity got firmly established in the true living God. I declare and I decree tonight that as the anointing gets activated upon your life, that lost inheritance shall be returned. That which was stolen from you, that which was lost shall be returned. For even tonight, as through the anointing by faith, we plunder the gates of hell and we revoke, we return what rightfully belongs to us. I declare and I decree that tonight, as the anointing rained down upon you, that your identity shall be firmly established in Christ Jesus. That as from this point, that you shall start to reflect the very flawless and perfect character and likeness and image of the true living God. Tonight you will be established. Amen. I say again that the anointing activates the call of God that is upon your life. And it sets in motion that which you have been predestined to do. You can no longer go back to what you used to be. The moment that the anointing came upon David, he was no longer known as the shepherd's boy, but as a giant slayer. May you from this point forward be known as giant slayers. The moment the anointing came upon Benjamin, the very cause of God's call for his life was set into motion. The coat that he had received from his father, the coat that he had received from his father changed his identity. This coat represents a mantle, and the mantle represents the anointing. The moment that he received the mantle, his identity changed. He started to see himself as a different man. The anointing cost him everything though. It cost him everything. But at the end, it gave him back everything and even more. The common denominator between all these great men that was so effective in the Spirit is their trust and their reliance in the Word of God and for the Word of God. Was their humble hearts. Saul said that, I am the least. I am the least. How can this be possible? Why do you say these things? I'm no one. I'm nothing. But you need to understand that it was his very humble hearts and trust in the Word of God and for the Word of God that have brought the attention of God upon his life. And so that have brought the anointing upon his life. Say humble. I need to become humble. Say I humble myself. I'm telling you these things because I want you to get desperate. I want you to get hungry for the Word of God. We're speaking of men and women. I can mention quite a few in the Bible that even before Christ have died that have accomplished greatness in God. Some of them have managed to find a way to find access where it was not allowed. How much more you and I that carry the Holy Spirit of the true living God, how much more can you and I not accomplish by the anointing that is upon our lives? How much more should you and I not go out and change the world? For the gospel is easy. The commission is easy. God said, go into all the world and preach my gospel to all creation. That's it. That's it. Past Wednesday, my e-group, I got very real with the people in the e-group. And I said that it's time that we get back to basics. Because we get so busy with the things of God that we miss God. And I said it's time that we get back to basics. The commission is very easy. Go into all the world and preach my gospel to all creation. How many people have heard the gospel from your mouth? How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been a believer? How long have you carried the Holy Spirit? How long have you kept inside that which God has ordained you to become? How many people have heard the gospel by your word, by the testimony of your word? How many people? The commission is easy. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And these things will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. But you need to understand that you cannot do these things without the anointing. For these are the activities of the kingdom of heaven. You need the anointing to be a partaker of the activities of the kingdom of heaven. You cannot pray for a sick person if you do not carry the anointing. Because the anointing changes your identity. And the anointing brings boldness. The anointing brings courage. The anointing makes you feel invincible. It makes you feel that you can accomplish anything at any time. Amen. I tell you, the moment yesterday when I encountered God in that kitchen became too small. Because my spirit became too big. The anointing stretches your spirit and allows God to come in a greater facet, form, and way, in ways that you have never thought possible. There's a world more real than this natural world around us. And I pray that it will become a reality to you. I pray that over the next few weeks that God will reveal Himself unto you in greater facets, form, and way. And that it will become a reality to you. My desire for you tonight is for this message to be a reality. I don't want to preach. I don't want to run up and down and scream because I want this thing to sink in. I need you to understand the importance of the anointing upon your life. The anointing will cause you to be effective in the Spirit. Who wants to be effective in the Spirit? Who wants to be efficient in the Spirit? You need the anointing. Remember that the anointing is the Holy Spirit. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have got a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Talk to Him, not as a something, but as a someone. As He is a person. He's not a something. He's not a mist. He's not a dove. He was represented as that. That's not what He is. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's very real. And He's very sensitive. He's very sensitive. You need to become sensitive. There's times that you need to close your door, get in your secret place. Sometimes not even putting on any music. And just get quiet and say, Holy Spirit, wonderful Holy Spirit, may I meet with you tonight. May your presence fill my room. May you teach me your word. May you show me things to come. May you reveal unto me things for my family, for my children. May you show me your purpose and your will for our lives. Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. And then you get quiet and you will be amazed after an hour or two what happens. You see, the problem is many people give up after about 5 or 10 minutes. They cannot wait upon the Lord. They cannot wait upon the Lord. The moment I got quiet last night, the moment I got quiet, I was struggling and trying to do things through my own power, through my own ability, but the moment I surrendered and I got quiet, angels appeared in the house. The presence of God filled the house. The Holy Spirit stood right next to me and took this word and placed it right into my heart and said, there you go. Now it's yours. The anointing will change your identity, but you need to be desperate for it. The Bible says that Jacob have wrestled with God all night. That he violently and aggressively, he took a hold of heaven. And he said, my Lord, my God, I will not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. How many times have you went into your inner room and went on your knees and cried and said, God, my Lord, I will not leave this room until you show up and until you bless me. This word, until you bless me, means until you place your approval upon me. You need to understand that when you feel the presence of God, that when you feel the anointing of God upon your life, that it is God's approval of you. Who can feel His presence? It means that He approves of you. It means that He stands in agreement with you. It means that He stands in agreement with you, in unity with you, in harmony with you. He approves of you. The true living Almighty, only true living God approves of your life. That is why you can feel His presence. He will not be where He's not celebrated. He will not come where He's not desired. I guarantee you that. If you want the anointing, you need to get hungry. And he wrestled with God all night. And God blessed him. And his identity changed. Now you need to understand what happened to Jacob. He stole his brother's first birthright, right? He stole his blessing. And so his mother came to him and said, listen, Jacob, you better run because your brother wants to kill you. You are in trouble. I cannot save you this time. You need to go now. And so he fled for his life, filled with fear. And after years, he decided that he will go back home to meet with his father. But he knew that his brother was waiting for him. He was afraid to meet with his brother, and he set all these things up to try and please his brother before he met with him, sending gifts and all sorts of things before, coming before him, marching before him. But he encountered God. He encountered God, and when the anointing came on him, his identity changed. And he was no longer Jacob, but was known as Israel. And he knew that now he was being kept safe because a divine additive was added. He received boldness. His brother had a grudge with Jacob, not with Israel. Esau had a problem with Jacob, not with Israel. When the anointing came on him and his identity changed, he knew that his brother will not see Jacob, that he will see Israel. I declare and I decree tonight that the enemy will no longer be able to recognize you. That as the anointing is upon your life, and even tonight, that as the anointing increase upon your life, that the enemy will not recognize you, but that when the enemy looks at you, that he will see Christ Jesus. He will see Christ Jesus, and it will send fear running down his spine. Amen. Your obedience towards the word of God and humbleness is the very thing that shall cause the anointing to flow effortlessly through your life. The Bible says that Moses was the humblest man that ever walked the face of this earth. Moses was the humblest man that ever walked the face of this earth. and he met with God face to face. God called him his friend. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but that is a desire of mine. Man, I desire to have that type of relationship with God. Why not? Why not? Because you're not humble. You're not humble. When Moses met with God at the burning bush and he encountered God, God appeared on him and said, Moses, I am that I am. And this shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, that I am hath sent me unto you. And moreover, God said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Right there he was commissioned and anointed with a very specific task. And God said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to send you back there to save my people. But before you can go back, I need to show you the power that is at work in Egypt. I need to show you the power that is at work in Egypt. And so he said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it down to the ground. And he casted it down and it became a snake. The Bible says in Luke 10 verse 18 and 19 that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and that I have given you the authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. And God said, pick it up by the tail. I don't know about you, but you do not pick a live snake up by its tail. First of all, when I throw down a stick and it becomes a snake, I think I will turn around and I will run away. Amen? And God said, pick it up by the tail. He picked it up. And that snake could not move its head. It could not turn around. It could not bite Moses. It could not hurt him. It could not cause any harm to him. Remember that this happened in the presence of God. What is the very thing that surrounds you and me? I declare and I decree in the name of Jesus Christ that tonight we're going to pick up the dragon by its tail, and it will not be able to hurt you. It will not be able to cause you any harm. And tonight you're going to cast that dragon out by the anointing of God that is upon your life. Amen? With fire. You cannot have the anointing without the fire. Amen? The more oil you throw on fire, what happens? The bigger that fire becomes. The anointing is the oil of heaven. If you want the fire of God to increase upon your life, you need to increase your anointing. Amen? The third secret to the anointing is that you will walk in unquestionable dominion. Unquestionable dominion. The Bible says in Genesis 5 verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now understand that Enoch did not have the word of God like you and I do have it today. He did not have the written word of God. I'm not saying that the written word of God is not important. It is of the utmost importance. You all know how I love the word of God. But nonetheless, he did not have the word of God. You can carry the word of God. You can have these pages in your hands every day and read it every day. You can know it off by heart, but if you do not have a relationship with the true living God, it's but only words on pages. That word only becomes powerful when it becomes the rhema word of God. Amen? And the only way that will happen is by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. He walked faithfully and blameless with the true living God, and he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine walking straight into heaven? Imagine that. Imagine you're walking and all of a sudden you're just in heaven. He didn't die. He went in his bodily form and walked into heaven. Now you have to ask yourself the question, why did God take him? Why did God take him? Because the anointing upon his life, the presence and the power of God upon his life became so strong that it became a natural hazard to his environment. He was starting to kill people around him. And God said, "No, Enoch, there's going to be no one left. My boy, I need to come upstairs. You're about to kill everyone that I've created. This is getting out of hand." There's a power at work on the inside of you and me that needs to be unlocked by revelation. I don't know. I've reached a stage where I've gotten fed up. I just said, "God, this cannot just be it. There's got to be more. I want to walk into a mall and people must manifest and feel the presence of God. I want to, man, I don't know, they must..." I don't know if you guys think the same or do you reason the same. I wanna walk into my workplace. I don't wanna lay hands. I just want them to fall under the power of God. That's what I want. I wanna get to my E group, and the moment that my car even gets close to the robot, the people must start shaking. Why not? Why not? The Bible says in Revelations that when God opens his mouth, that seven thunders utter their voices. Seven thunders utter their voices. There was two men called James and John, and they were called the sons of thunder. This was before the crucifixion. Jesus have given them this name. Before you think I'm preaching something funny, this is in the Bible. He called them Boanerges, meaning sons of thunder. Man, I received that anointing. What will cause a man to be called a son of thunder? You must better know that when the God of this universe calls you a son of thunder, man, that is backed up by power. You need to understand that when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he passed the city, that the people of that town didn't want to receive them. And John and James stepped up and said, "God, step aside and let us call fire from heaven as Elijah did, and let them all be consumed." And God turned around and said, "Whoa." And he rebuked them. And he said, "You do not understand the spirit you're operating out of right now. I have not come to take life, but to give life." God had to stop it, because if he didn't, fire would have come down from heaven. They just knew, "Listen, I've said this is going to happen. The heavens will open and these people are about to be consumed in the fire of God." May you open your mouth and the fire of God start to flow in ways like you have never experienced. May every word that you speak come to pass. May every word that you speak that proceeds from the word from your mouth, may it bring forth change. May the anointing become a reality to you. The Bible says in Psalms 97 verse 4, that is lightning lights up the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. You and I, we are clothed with Christ. And that word Christ means anointed one. Meaning that you are clothed with the very anointed. With the very anointing of Christ. Where you walk, the mountains melt like wax. And his lightning lights up the world. You think that when you read the word of God in your bed late one evening, that it's just by you sitting there, I don't better understand what happens when you read the Word of God. Let me tell you the way that I see it. And in the beginning there was the Word. And God said, let there be light. Wonderful. Good for you. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can't take this anymore. Why is this happening to me? You better understand that when you read the Word of God and you carry an anointing, that in the heavenlies, in the spiritual dimension, there's a shaking and a trembling going on. It is no small thing. That word is filled with the Spirit and with life. When you read it with an anointing, the heavens tremble. The gates of hell shake. And Satan is wondering what the heck is going on. And the more that he can prevent you from believing this truth, then he's got you. May your eyes open up tonight. When I read the Word of God and when I quote scriptures, I physically imagine how my words echoes in eternity. How the spiritual ground is being plowed. I see that when I open my mouth and I speak, I see demons being pushed back. This is what I see in my mind. I imagine these things while I'm reading the Word of God. I imagine the Son of Man that I am clothed with and His light coming forth from my innermost being. I imagine His anointing flowing from without me like living water. And everything that gets into contact with it changes. I see it in the Spirit. I see it in the Spirit. When I speak, I hear the echo. I hear the thunder. I hear the roar of the lion. Oh, I don't know. Some responded to that. We serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You have to understand that a kind gives birth to its own kind. A dog gives birth to a dog, a cat to a cat, a lion to a lion.